May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 177. Soon as faith the Lord can see, leading on the cross for me, quick my idols all depart, Jesus gets and fills my heart. Hymn 177.
Thank you. reading of the Word of God from the first book of Kings, chapter 17. The first book of Kings, chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. As she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Hath thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft, where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow, with whom I sojourn, by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come in to him again. the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." The woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." May he bless to us the reading of his word and help us in prayer. O Lord, eternal, holy, merciful God, we seek help, the Lord, that we may draw near to thee. May thy spirit be granted, prayer may be indicted, and O Lord, we come to thee upon the grounds that all and precious name of thy Son Jesus would be mindful of the mercy that has spared us, brought us together around the word of truth. Lord, we do seek that humble spirit and thankful heart, thankful for the means of grace, thankful for the word of thy grace, thankful for the desire to be found gathered with thy people. But Lord, we're here to worship thee. We do ask thee that the blessed spirit of truth may reveal not only the things of God, but a precious Jesus to our soul. Oh, we would be in that worshipping frame. We think of those, O Lord, that have come from busy scenes of life. And Lord, we can't escape those scenes, but we do ask thee, Lord, that they may be left outside the house of God, that we may, Lord, that they, as they've come, worship. O Lord, set Jesus Christ by faith before us. We ask thee too, Lord, that thou would deliver us from this go in and come in, Spirit. And Lord, something that we've done for years, all our life perhaps. But Lord, this attending to the means of grace. And especially keep us from resting upon that attendance. Lord, we do pray for that divine work of grace, a Lord, that will manifest the one thing that's needful. My Lord, we would indeed quote one good hymn writer, "An interest in the Saviour's blood, my pardon sealed, my peace with God." Lord, drive out the buyers and sellers out of thy house. Subdue this old nature. Grant, O Lord, that our affections may be set on things above, not on things of this dying world. We would, O Lord, leave them for a while. We would be mindful too, Lord, of each that are here. O Lord, and we pray for them each because, O Lord, they have an ever-dying soul. Eternity comes on, O Lord, and it will be so with all of us. We pray, Lord, that thou would begin a work of grace if that has not begun. And if it is begun, dear Lord, we pray that it may be confirmed that it has been begun. Lord, we do ask thee too to get to thyself honour and glory and praise. But Lord, in our attempts to serve thee and to worship thee, we've asked thee for the Holy Spirit to teach. It isn't only this poor sinner that needs teaching. But Lord, it is those that are here to listen. He shall teach you all things. And Lord, be very aware too that those all things, and Lord, amongst the all things that are taught, are very solemn things. Lord, it is one thing to pray that thou would teach us Jesus Christ in the want of him. But Lord, thou dost also teach us, O Lord, the fallen state of nature first. Oh, what a wonderful mercy if there's life in the soul. But Lord, it doesn't seem wonderful when all we see is darkness and distress. It doesn't seem wonderful, Lord, if we feel the burden of sin and fear the consequences of those sins. Lord, might we be as thy servant, the apostle, be brought to that place where he can say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Lord, and we do thank thee that the remedy is revealed. And Lord, there may be those sinners in this place, sensible sinners, truth-loving sinners, who know the malady and have heard of the remedy. Lord, may there be that application of the remedy. And Lord, we think too, bring this before thee. And Lord, that's how that dear apostle could write, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Lord, thou only knowest, and it is only that can know who feel this condemnation. But Lord, we pray that thou would reveal to them the blood of Jesus. And Lord, not only reveal it to them, but Lord, apply that precious blood. Lord, all we can do is plead for mercy as one, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But Lord, what a mercy to plead. What a mercy that we have a desire for mercy. What a mercy, Lord, when such broken sighs and groans and petitions ascend into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth upon the merits of that name which is above every name. Lord, are there those therefore here, and there surely must be, Lord, who want to know him, whom to know aright is life eternal, who come to and fro at the house of God, Lord, feeling poverty, feeling destitution, needing mercy, and it may be, and finding none. Lord, we pray that they may be able to see, and it will be shown them one day, Lord, that the seeking spirit comes from God. The desiring spirit comes from God. Doesn't grow on nature's barren soil. Lord, so remember each in thy house this night, and may each be among those blessed characters who are seeking it for Jesus. Lord, we would pray for the young people. Lord, bless them with life in their soul. Oh, may they commit their way unto the Lord. And Lord, may they know what it is to cry out in need. Lord, put a desire in each of those young people's hearts. Numbered with them may I be, now and through eternity. And those that are in the midst of life, parents, Lord, remember them, and we wouldn't forget any, Lord. Oh, the heat and burden of the day. many cares, many responsibilities, many fears perhaps. Oh, we pray for them, Lord, that they may walk as examples to their family. And yet, Lord, be found in that gracious place, looking unto Jesus. Those of us who are in old age, Lord, and it cannot be much longer, Lord, as we walk in this vale of tears, prepare us for the end of the journey. Oh, how we thank thee for all the mercy along the way. How we thank thee, Lord, for tokens of thy mercy and love. But dear Lord, in thy rich mercy, grant that we may hold time things with a far looser hand. Lord, hear us now as we would remember this sanctuary and in this place. Lord, grant them a token of thy grace, of thy presence here, of thy blessing, not only upon the word that's brought here from time to time, but upon never dying souls. Raise up in this place those who shall testify of the mercy and grace of God to poor sinners. Oh, visit this house of God, we pray thee, with tokens of thy special love. And Lord, as thy servants come here, Lord, may they bring a word from thee for this people. Lord, it is a great mercy. Lord, one said in his psalm, until I went into the house of the Lord, then understood I their end. Lord, make this place a spiritual home, but make it a place, a Lord, where there's divine teaching. And Lord, may each come to the house of God in all humility and under a sense of the fear of God. Lord, may there be spiritual food for spiritually hungry. And Lord, do hear us too as we remember the ministry, Lord, and remember the service of God wherever they are and however they are. Lord, we thank thee that thou dost lead thy people, thy servants about, Lord, for the benefit of the Church of Christ, and also for the honour and glory of thy name. Wilt thou raise up others, Lord, and thrust them out, Lord, and make them useful before the churches, and bless them and be with them, Lord, and refresh their own souls and help them to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Be mindful, Lord, in these very sad days, Lord, of bereavement. Oh, we would remember the gathering together tomorrow, Lord, in that sanctuary in Sussex. Lord, and oh, may grace be given to the parents, that the relations, the family, the brothers and the sisters. Lord, may grace be given, submission to the will of God. But Lord, let these solemn happenings, and there's been several, Lord, lately, when the hand of death has removed out of time into eternity. In many cases, Lord, and we don't know, Lord, but how we have the testimony of a removing home to glory. But Lord, let these things speak. Lord, as we think of this coming day, Lord, let there be a voice from that service, a Lord, that shall sound in the hearts of those that are there, and in the careless, and in the unconcerned. Oh, we would be mindful, Lord, and pray continually, Lord, for that preparation for that moment. Lord, it's called in the hymn writer's words a dread moment. It wasn't a dread moment in the apostles' experience. Lord, it was ready to be offered. Lord, may it be so blessed to our souls in preparation that it's not a dread moment. And we think, Lord, too, of affliction. That's the lot of those, Lord, that fear God as well as anyone else. But we would be thankful for thy healing hand and restoring mercy, Lord, where thou hast done this. But Lord, we do ask thee too that again may it be, Lord, in as we read in the prophecy of Isaiah, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Adversity, prosperity, Lord, is the lot of the people of God, and thou hast brought it about. So where honour and praise is due, may it be so. But Lord, may there be benefits, may there be spiritual benefits, Lord, out of the adversity, out of the tribulation. Lord, may they have visits from Jesus, Lord, and the blessed Spirit reveal the things of God. Hear us, Lord, as we remember too the state of the churches, the state of the denomination. Oh, for those times of rejoicing. Will it be so again, Lord? Are we living in days where we shall not see these these times of joy and gladness? Lord, is it forever removed? Shall we, Lord, go on in this despairing, darkening distressing time? Lord, wilt thou yet lift thy hand of chastening and return to the churches? Wilt thou once again send forth thy Spirit with almighty power to use the word? Hast thou not said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth? It shall not return to me void. Dear Lord, it is only thy Spirit that can put power in the word, and it is only thy Spirit that can apply the word. And Lord, we beg that it may be so, so that in these dark days we may have seasons of joy. Lord, we don't deserve it. There's too much world. And Lord, there's too near the world. Lord, may we have the grace to walk separate from the world in heart and affection. Oh, hear us, Lord, as we long for those times of reviving. Lord, in return, we pray thee, and it isn't just the churches. Lord, it's our own soul that we need thee to return to. Oh, revive us again those days of blessing that we have known, those joys, Lord, in believing, those early days, Lord, which we have enjoyed and known. Lord, may they indeed be known again. Lord, we live in a sad nation, a distressing condition that we're in. Judgments are abroad upon us, Lord, and men think they've got the wisdom to put it all right. Lord, we would be thankful that thou art on the throne. Many sad things are happening. Laws are passed, and laws, Lord, which are contrary to the word of God. Sin is accommodated, never spoken against. Lord, we live in awful days, but thou art still on the throne. Lord, spare to us the Bible, thy holy word, spare to us the sanctuaries of God. And Lord, preserve and watch over the people of God. Oh, do hear us in these, our desires. But Lord, we would have our mind and our affection, our spiritual mind, our spiritual affection, now set upon things above. Lord, as we look into the holy word of truth, Lord, may it be a spiritual revelation. Lord, deliver us from, Lord, resting upon the letter, but couched beneath his truth. May there be, Lord, that revealing of the truth and applying of it. Lord, who hear us, we pray that thou wilt forgive our sin and pardon the sins of our prayers and be with us each. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 771. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Hymn 771.
Thank you.
seeking divine help, I would ask your attention to the reading, First Book of Kings, chapter 17, verse 14. First Book of Kings, chapter 17, verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. We have in Holy Scripture many interesting and profitable seasons recorded. It's like the parables of the Lord Jesus, earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And although this word and this chapter is as well known as any of the scriptures of truth, I do hope that it may not be just the record of providence that we may indeed trace out this evening. It's a very blessed word, of course, and this is a word from God. It's a word from God to Elijah. It's a word from God to the widow. And may it be tonight a word of God to you. And it won't be just the letter of the word, but rather, if the Lord will help us to meditate upon what lies beneath the word, what instruction may be gleaned from the word and the illustration of it. It is a good word for providential pathways, but it is not, at least I hope it isn't on my spirit, to contain the discourse to providence. Although we all are dependent on a gracious God for providence, but what lies in these words may be for our spiritual profit and his praise and honour and glory. What is to be learned by these words then? You might say for a moment, the will of God, the purposes of God. Would you not say the faithfulness of God? The faithfulness of God. Because that's what it is. Israel had sinned. Ahab, as the king of Israel, has sinned more than any other king had sinned. He was, in the eyes of God, as one vile. And so the Lord brings judgment upon the people of Israel by withholding rain and dew for 3.5 years. But the provision of this word in a personal way, of course, is wonderful. But let us look at it as it will, I hope, unfold to me and you too, what it means in a spiritual sense. I find the longer you live, the more I need spiritual instruction and teaching. But on the other hand, I wouldn't forget nor be unthankful or disobedient to remember the goodness of the Lord down the years of one's life. But if that's all I've got to thank God for, my religion isn't much other than providence. But if you and I can discern with the Holy Spirit's light upon it, those things which are spiritual, those things which are eternal, those things which are evidences of God's grace in our soul, and then we shall profit by this word this night. But it is a word from the Lord, for thus saith the Lord. And what did this good prophet learn by these things? We must just mention this, then we shall go on, I hope. That the way he walked was not wrong. As he was taken away from Israel, hidden as it were, from Israel, from Ahab, so he was provided for. And first at the brook, Cherith, and then with the widow in Zarephath. The mercy of God, the continuation, day by day, of his mercy, 3.5 years, while the drought and the famine continued, so this good man Elijah and this widow, the woman, was maintained. When God begins to call his people and separates them in heart and affection from the world in its fallen state, so he calls them by his grace and will maintain their spiritual life by his grace. It would be sufficient to say, or to remind you, the Apostle Paul wrote, being confident of this very thing, which he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now, the way of grace is the walk and the dependency upon a gracious God. And also, it will be with that condition of soul that will be brought to continually call upon the mercy of God for spiritual provisions. There is a word, isn't there, in the Lamentations of Jeremiah, and we just let us turn, and then we shall not quote it incorrectly. These are the words that 'tis the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed, for his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. And we are reminded of it every morning, I trust. Well, I am. But it's not just because there's food on our table and the comforts of life surround us. May you and I look at this word and such a word as that and see the spiritual point of it and the spiritual benefit. Are not your spiritual benefits new every morning? If he's put you in the way everlasting, the work of grace will be maintained. I want to say something which I feel is true, and if it's not, the Lord forgive. The Lord always deals with his people, if I might put it like this, sufficiently. But he never deals with his people that they never need any other help or any other time of help. My own view of this barrel of meal and cruse of oil was not the abundance of it, but the sufficiency of it. I don't feel, and I've no scriptural word to guide me, but I don't feel that it was an overflowing barrel or an overflowing cruse. There was a going again every mealtime, and there was sufficient for one more meal. And I feel that that speaks to the people of God of the mercy of God in grace, and the benefits of grace to the people of God are dealt, as it were, from season to season and from time to time, because it benefits them by their exercise. If the Lord so blesses your soul with a hope in his mercy, if you have some real sense of the forgiveness of sins by the peace-speaking blood of Jesus, it won't be, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, I don't believe it will be. We read of the eunuch, after he was baptized, went on his way rejoicing. I am confident of this, of the experience of my own soul, that though there were times, there are times, and there will be times, of spiritual blessings and favors, it will be so given that there will be times also of a spiritual desire, an appetite, longing desire, supplications, prayers, will form from the work of grace within for another evidence, another token of those mercies and favors you once knew. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. And God's work of grace cannot fail. It is his work and no one else's. And he has begun it and he will maintain it. But for the benefit of your spiritual soul and life and walk and understanding of truths, you will go, as it were, emptied from vessel to vessel at times. Just the same by nature, it would be foolishness to say this, wouldn't it? That you only need one meal and that's all you want. There are people who, I believe by their walk and pathway, do not hunger nor thirst for spiritual things. The Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He didn't say, blessed are those that are always full, but those that hunger and thirst. And if I could put it like this, the gracious people of God who are satisfied with the blessings of God's house and the graces of the Spirit and the portion of Christ to their soul, which brings joy and gladness, they'll go on their way rejoicing, and there will be times again when the Lord will be called upon to sought after and to seek for those times of reviving. Why did David say in the 86th Psalm, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may be ashamed? And you can go, and there's instruction, and we're all getting full of instruction, but are we benefiting by the instruction? The Word of God tells us through the Spirit much instruction about the conditions of the natural man and of the spiritual man. And if you are the subjects of God's grace, you'll also be the subjects of Satan's temptations. And if he could take you off the rock Christ Jesus, he would do so, but he can't. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Now, the purpose of the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil in the chapter was food. And that food kept those alive. The widow, Elijah, and the widow's son, kept them alive. So does the grace and mercy of God keep the soul alive. Let me just tell you something which will point out what I mean, I hope. It came to my thoughts sitting in that vestry. I went back 29 years when I left Hanover. And there was we walked in the chapel on the last Sunday before we moved to Norfolk. And there was a dear aged member there, and he said to me, and he wished us well in our providential move, but then he said, I want to give you a word. And the word was this: trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And I trust, humbly I can say, that has come to pass. So, the gracious people of God, who come into blessings and favours at God's right hand, will come again to the needs of their soul and will seek for those applications or revelations of those blessings and favours from the Lord to help them on their way. If you've got a spiritual path to walk, you can't walk it with, if I might say, providential supplies. The person in the Gospel of Luke, the backslider, the prodigal, spent his substance in riotous living. And then there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. It was no good looking at the things of time and sense, was it? It was no good finding out those companions that help him spend his substance in riotous living. There was only one place that his want could be supplied, and that was his father's house. And in the divine purposes of God, the hungering and the thirsting will bring you to the footstool of mercy. The question I want to ask, and I say it in love to you all, but in exercise of my soul, is this. Do you come to chapel hungry and thirsty? Do you lay up prayers on your way up to the house of God? Have you a condition of soul that the word of God you seek may be applied to it? Let me talk to sinners who, and I hope I can say this, who have known times of blessing, times of forgiveness, joy in believing. And how long did you go in the joy of that believing, or in the sense of peace in your soul through the pardoning blood of Jesus? You went just as far as the Lord permitted. And you came into times and seasons where you felt indwelling sin rise up. It might have been by thought, or it might have been by deed. But a knowledge of sin came. Such a favoured soul, who has dealings with Jesus Christ in the way of salvation, I say that in great reverence, he's been revealed as the way, the truth and the life. He's been revealed as the saviour of your soul, the sin bearer of your sins, the burden bearer of your spiritual pathway. But then you come again to this state and condition. You see, however you speak, however you describe of the spiritual blessings and favours that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ or through him, and the Holy Spirit takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them unto you, whatever you say of them, and whatever you try to describe a work of grace, I tell you this, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. But I've always proved that what the word of God, I had this as a text recently at Zohar, but our sufficiency is of God. Now, you come into those places and you come into those times when you've nothing of your own. Dear friends, if you examine the scriptures of truth, you will find that they correspond with your own spiritual life. If you have a spiritual life, it will correspond with the dear soul's experiences in the word of truth. The same God that taught the psalmist will teach you. The same God that called the apostle Peter to the gospel, truths, and to Christ Jesus, that opened his eyes to see that he was the Christ of God. The same blessed Spirit will teach you the same if you're a child of grace. The same God will permit you to fall into sin. He's not the author of sin. But your own nature, he will allow you, it will be the will of God, the permissive will of God, that you come again into that state and need of forgiveness. And you know, there's lessons to be learned, isn't there? Spiritual lessons to be learned through these things. But underneath it all, and mercifully, graciously, as God cannot change, neither can a work of grace change. If you're the subjects of his grace, he'll maintain that grace. But he'll maintain it by exercise. There is a hymn by John Newton here in this book, which I turned to a moment ago before we started this service, because it seemed to correspond with my thoughts. And the two lines is in the second verse. The whole verse reads this: brought safely by his hand thus far, why dost thou now give place to fear? How canst thou want if he provide, or lose thy way with such a guide? No child of grace has ever fell out of the covenant, but no child of grace put himself in the covenant. God's divine purposes of love and mercy chose the people for himself, and in time called them by his grace and maintained that grace. But it's maintained, and I was going to say, I hope I sound correct and truthful before you, before God, but it is contained in these expressions, that he gave you sufficient grace for the time of need. If you go back into the book of Genesis and you follow the pathway of Joseph, Joseph was raised up to be second in the land of Egypt, and he had the control of the distribution of the corn. And the purposes of God were being fulfilled before his very eyes. And Jacob's sons came down to buy corn. Well, I don't want to go into that. We don't preach in two texts. But what I want to remind you of is this. They went back with their corn, and there came a time, of course, when the corn ran out, or was running out. And you find those words, go again unto the man. Go again. Dear friends, that describes the exercised people of God. Go again unto the man. And the dear Lord, in his mercy, though he is gracious to his people, he preserves them. I looked at a verse, you know the verse as well as I do, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and three words there. The whole of the verse is about the path of temptation. 1 Corinthians 10, and these words, if I can find it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And these was the words, four words, but God is faithful. One of the things that, the certain thing about Elijah's pathway was that he had a faithful God. And dear friends, if you've got a gracious God, you've got a faithful God. There may be an application to somebody, I don't know, about the providential proving of these words. And the Lord bless you in the receipt of his providential mercies. But there's a greater truth in these words, and that is the spiritual content of them and the pathways of the people of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is made precious to his people. Exceedingly precious. You've sung of a right view of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know my Jesus crucified, by far excels all things beside. But there's nowhere in experience, there's nowhere in the Word of God, until you come to the end of your life, where that the blessings and favours of his grace once known is to be sought for again and again. The barrel of meal shall not waste, nor shall the cruse of oil fail. To my experience, I believe and I hope I can say for those here also that have experienced the truths and mercies of the grace of God and of the person of Christ. Why did the man write this then? More frequent let thy visits be, and let them longer last. If they were content with one visit, one token, one word from him, one blessing from his right hand. Dear friends, that's not the pathway of the believer in Jesus. If he's revealed to you in your very soul as the Christ of God, you will come under the attacks of hell. You will be subject to the unbelieving spirit of truth. And I don't want to give an impression anyone's religion is different from another one's. I'm talking about a real spiritual work of grace now. But I have to say this. As far as I'm concerned, as far as my soul is concerned, I'm more needy now than I've ever been. And I feel my destitution now more than I've ever felt it. And I believe that's the way the way he teaches his people to wholly depend on him. And their sufficiency is of God, you know. And like as we reminded you of the prodigal, he would have fain has filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. Dear friends, if you've got a spiritual life, nothing of this time state will satisfy that spiritual life. Nothing. The husks that the swine eat suit the swine, but they don't suit the children of God. They won't grow in grace by time things. The blessings that come and for which they grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ come from God. But another thing too, dear friends, is this word appetite. If you look at it again, this purpose of this barrel of meal and cruse of oil was to satisfy their hunger. But you see, it didn't satisfy their hunger once. It was a continued go into the barrel and to the cruse of oil. And there wasn't more than that was needed, but there was sufficient for that need. The apostle wrote, didn't he, to the church at Philippi, and he said this, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And what a blessed people they are, you know, who are needy. They're the best ones in a congregation, you know. Those are the ones, if they could understand this expression, those are the ones to whom the preaching of the word is made a blessing to. The needy and the poor. I've said this lots of times, but the psalmist said this, you know, and it's not extremity of experiences only. It's not to say that all and every moment you are found in this place, but if you're a child of God, if you're under divine teaching, you'll come to the place where it says he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. You see, this cuts across social religion. This cuts across, it's the difference between professors and possessors. Where the grace of God is, there will be opposition. And where the grace of God will be, there is tribulation. Jesus said in the 16th of John, in me ye shall have peace, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I said in my poor petition about the apostle writing his letter to the Romans. You see, there's a very wonderful statement of truth and a sacred experience of the child of God. And I don't know a child of God that doesn't seek for the blessing of that word to their soul. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. A person who would be, shall we say, a scholar of the scriptures will say, well now that's the blessing of the Church of Christ. But you want to look at it again, dear friends. And I don't want to use wrong words, but see how the man came to that blessing. It's not just a suitable word to sinners. Oh, it is a suitable word. God bless you all with that blessing of no condemnation. How did you come? How did the dear apostle, how did he come to possess that blessing? How could he testify to the Roman Church of it? How can a person preach unless he's been taught as well as unless he's been sent? I'll tell you how he came to understand it. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Not literally, of course, but there's no hope. No comfortable hope, you know, in the soul of a believer when the law as the holy law of God is applied. When sin rises up, there's no comfortable hope. And without reading the chapter, and you read it, so we find these words, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Many a time, you'll forgive me, I don't wish to be in any way incorrect in speaking of these things. But many a time I've had to say, you know, the people who read the 8th of Romans describe it as a chapter that starts with no condemnation and ends with no separation. But the best way to read chapter 8 is to read chapter 7. Then you have the experience of the dear man so that he can say these truths, so that he can write these truths, these experimental truths. And he can speak humbly and the mercy of God in his what he's wrote, that there is therefore now no condemnation. Why? Because those indwelling sins had been pardoned and put away. Will he not need it again? He will need it again, and so will you. But what I'm trying to say, and this is the purpose, I hope, of this well-known text tonight, is the truth that lies under it, that it shall not fail. All men will fail. Peter learned forgiveness, you know, by understanding a little solemnly of his own state and condition in his soul. The Lord Jesus Christ in the 22nd chapter said this, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And that word conversion really means when thou art restored. If you go to the 51st Psalm, and you will find there David's Psalm of repentance. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. God doesn't take his salvation away from his people. Once in him and him forever. But he makes them to understand the slips and falls that they are left to fall into. You see, when Peter said, though all men forsake thee, yet will not I, he sinned worse than forsaking Jesus. Oh, great was the sin that he committed in denying Jesus. And oh, how he suffered for it. But you see, that was the way that he learned mercy. That was the way he learned mercy. That's the way you and I shall learn mercy. Coming into those times and seasons, divine teaching is here. Profitable teaching. Oh, it's a painful path. I was thinking in this chapter 18. I was thinking of that incident where the Lord said to Elijah that he was returning rain to Israel. First verse, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And the close of the chapter, after that remarkable deliverance that he had and the death of all those false prophets, he sent his servant to look towards the sea. He himself, we read, cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, said to his servant, go up and look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and he said, there's nothing. There's nothing. How many? Come on now, how many have had that experience concerning your spiritual life, and you've looked as it were and you have to say, there's nothing. There's nothing. All is empty. All is just mere custom, all duty. There's nothing. And dying sinners that see nothing. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? The very language is the language of life. The very exercise is the language of life. There is nothing. But like that servant, you have to go again. And I know it says go again seven times. And the seventh time they saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. Have you been in that place and spot where you've waited at the footstool of mercy? The matter of your soul, you know, doesn't leave you to say, well, we'll come again tomorrow. If your soul is a burden to you, and the mountain of sin is a trouble to you, and your cries and tears, have you walked in the path of a woman in the 15th of Matthew? A Syrophoenician woman? What does the word of God say? The word of God is the record of scripture, and he speaks of Jesus. A man who spake as never man spoke. But what do you learn of this one then? He answered her, not a word. Not a word. There is nothing. But you see, that the desire was still there. The burden was still there. And the cry was still there. If you and I come to the footstool of mercy as a sinner, and you're sent home empty. You're sent home as it were empty. If you come to the house of God in an exercise condition and he'll send you home empty from time to time. Now that where grace is, you will be there again. You will be there again. Oh, how she cried. Then she fell down and worshipped him saying, Lord, help me. Have you been in those places? He answered her, not a word. How trying. But then you see, if you possess grace, you also possess faith. And that faith will be a tried faith. Peter again that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory. You see, that's the work of grace. That's the way the Lord indeed teaches his people. Might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. I remember reading a sermon to myself, I'm talking about years ago, of that Syrophoenician woman. And whoever was the minister said this, because he didn't answer, didn't say he didn't hear. And you think about that. Does he shut his ears to your cry, as you would think, or as you would express? But you see, where it's reality, where it's the matters of the peace of your soul, you'll come again. You'll come again. You'll be found low at his feet, laying the burden of all these things before him once more that troubles you. There's a very sweet word in the Psalms, amongst many sweet words. And I've totally convinced, you know, that the pathways of God's people in the scriptures, and I think somebody said it today, mirrors the pathway of the saints of God in all time. Now, does this word register? Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Does that find an echo? Shall I read the next verse? For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. Have you got those has beens? What he was before, Psalmist David said, didn't he, in the Psalm 27, thou hast been my help. And that's when you can look back and trace his help, trace his appearance. Hither by thy help I come. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. See the authority. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Well, when you think that this is so descriptive of the spiritual life and the possessor of blessings, I was thinking then, and it just drops in, and I must come to a close soon. In the book of Judges, we find a husband and wife, Manoah and his wife, and the Lord sent an angel to instruct him and teach him concerning the son, Samson. And when it came apparent to Manoah that it was an angel from God, he said, we shall surely die, for we have seen God face to face. Would he have showed us these things, said his wife, if he meant to kill us? There's the comfort. Oh, you that come to the throne of grace, you that are found at the footstool of mercy, and I say it with the greatest of reverence, you will never be found lost at last. You will never be found wanting in that great day. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. And that's where you learn your sufficiency. That's where you learn it. The wise man said, the day of adversity and the day of prosperity, one over against the other. And who puts it that way? The Lord. And he tries the faith of his people, but he never deserts, and he never closes his ears to their cry. There's a sweet psalm in the 30, sweet word in the 34th Psalm. And it says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. Then he said this, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth him out of all their troubles. You know, we said just now about Joseph. And it says in this, in one of the Psalms, until the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord tried him. But it came. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the well of Mir shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Hadley on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 669. Poor sinners, sunk in sin's tremendous cell, tormented with the fiery darts of hell, on Jesus call, though wretched be your case. He came the lost to seek and save by grace. Hymn 669.
seek thy blessing upon thine own word, or forgive and pardon what thou hast heard amiss. Lord, and when we go home, take care of us each. Preserve us from evil and harm and danger. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, remain with us now and always. Amen.